Selling my heart into tenderness before him. It's weary crawl, it's merciful feelings with us. Let the Spirit of God light a holy flame. Burn away the rubbish piled up at the door of my heart, and let Jesus in. He's knocking on your heart. Will you let him in? Let him in, let him in. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. Strengthen these weary hands and feeble knees. My inconsistencies, they show, but he's helping me. Hidden in Christ, a life of restfulness. Laborers we are together with him. What a completely free gift, none but his righteousness. He's knocking on your heart. Will you let him in? Let him in, let him in. Will you let him in? Let him in.
Beautiful song of praise for the Lord. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Do you hear me clearly? All right. Thank you. So today is March 9, 2024, Sabbath day. And I invite you to pray before we start. Please kneel if you can. Our dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before your throne of grace once again to continue ask your holy presence in our midst and speak to our hearts and minds through the words that we are about to hear that will strengthen our faith. Please, Lord, give us understanding heart to know your will and be able to apply this in our lives. Please, heal those who are sick physically and spiritually. And we uplift to you all the prayer requests of your children that you grant them, Lord, if it is your will. Thank you. Thank you so much for the blessing we received during the children and adult study earlier. It's really timely, Lord. Please bridle my tongue as I continue about to speak on your behalf. And please forgive us, Father, for all the sins we have committed against thee. Thank you. And we praise you for answering our prayers. For we ask all these things in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, so, I praise the Lord because the adult study earlier given by Pastor Nick coincided with our sermon today. Praise the Lord. The Lord arranged it already beforehand. Okay, so our sermon is entitled Profession or Possession. Okay, so it's, we also have a sermon note. You can, those who are in the radio, WTPR, you can type in sdrmovement.org/note/030924.html. That's today's date. So, what is the distinction between the profession of faith and possession of truth? Does it really make a difference? Which is important. The Bible and the spirit of prophecy have given us important lessons on how to distinguish between these two. As followers of Christ, remember we hold a high level of faith. It is very exalted since we profess to obey all His commandments, and we eagerly wait His coming. In 1 Timothy 6:12, according to Paul, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Yes, it is. We have a good profession. We must fight for this faith till our last breath by God's help. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, Paul said, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. By declaring publicly that we accepted Christ as our personal Savior is actually a good profession. When you accepted the ordinance of baptism, you publicly confessed and pledged to stand in opposition to evil. I was 17 years old when I was baptized and began keeping the Sabbath. 27 when I accepted the Reformation. And then 24 years later, I took a step forward and received purer faith by being rebaptized in SDR movement with my wife. And it's a joyful day for me to declare my faith in Christ. So remembering our vows is one of the most effective ways to energize our profession of faith and faithful performance of spiritual duty. Baptism is one of prerequisites in conversion. Communion will be, I think, next month, somebody asked. So again, baptism is one of the prerequisites in conversion. And for those who are babe in Christ, those who are new, we have free Bible lessons you must complete. It is found in our site if you seek for baptism and if you have a chance, of course. Baptism by immersion symbolizes the cleansing of our sins and the new life we have with Christ. However, please keep in mind that baptism does not guarantee salvation. It is simply another step forward or toward obedience in following Jesus as Lord. According to Acts chapter 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If there is no change in life, baptism will only serve as an external form. this transformation will only be possible with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's why in John 6:63, it says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." So what is the difference between profession and possession? Profession means the act of openly declaring or publicly claiming a belief, faith, or opinion, while the word possession is the act of having or taking control. So profession and possession are not the same. In fact, in Manuscript 14, 1898, it says, "A profession of faith and the possession of truth in the heart are two different things. The mere knowledge of truth is not enough. We may have a knowledge of truth, but the tenor of our thoughts may not be changed. The heart may still be filled with tares. The seed of truth may be sown among thorns. Unless a man that has that faith that works by love and purifies the soul, he is unconverted." A professed Christian may be religious. We can see their outward devotion. You may see them attending church or performing religious duties, but not converted. Look at the fake revivals now who claim to be Christians, but they follow another Jesus. Many so-called Christians were baptized in the church, yet they continue to follow worldly customs and practices. I read one news headline this week about, you know, Christian nightclub in Tennessee, where young people came to pray. They praised God before dancing. Take note, before dancing under the strobe lights with Christianized hip-hop music and rap. You know, it's like they call it Christian music, but it's rock and roll, you know, worldly music. There's a drum. It is sad. It's really sad how the devil has mocked the Lord through these nominal Christians. Yes, one can profess to be Christian while do not possess the transforming truth of Christ. So it is essential to have Christ in our hearts and lives. This is why in Hebrews 4:14, the Apostle Paul exhorted us, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Jesus is our great high priest. He is now serving in the most holy place as our advocate and intercession with God the Father. Since 1844, the investigative judgment continues until now, and our books are being examined to determine whether we are worthy of eternal life. That's why we are encouraged to hold and keep our profession strong. Hebrews 10:23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." In other words, we must be firm and unshakable in our loyalty to this genuine faith, because there is a possibility we can let go of its grip. James 1:6. James said that there's a condition when praying to God. He said here, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Another word for wavering is doubt. And doubt, we all know, is the opposite of faith. So if we entertain doubt, we are in danger, because we are inviting the enemy to tempt us and take control of our life. When we are anxious, restless, unstable, unsettled, when we are fickle-minded, and even impatient, we are easily carried away by the enemy. As well as every wind of doctrine, temptation, and lusts. All of this. Proverbs 28 verse 9. Proverbs 28 verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. If we waver and disobey God's law, God will reject all our services to Him, even our prayers. Professed Christians who are wavering are likened to a fool who holds the truth in unrighteousness. You can find that in Romans 1, verse 18 and verse 22. Romans 1, 18 and 22. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So how are we holding the truth? Do we possess and hold it patiently without wavering? Or do we just profess to holding it, but it has no effect in changing us? Are you a professor or a possessor? What kind of fruit do you bear? Matthew 3:10 says, "And now also the axe is laid unto the roots of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." We are to be tested and tried by our lives, not by our profession. Our integrity, our conduct must be holy. And if we cannot bear the test, and if our life will not show the good fruits of righteousness, what happened? We will be rejected. This fruitless tree shall fall, and will be subject to future damnation. According to Volume 2 of the Testimonies, 441, Satan works side by side with professed Christians. Yet, they are so destitute of spiritual discernment that they do not detect him. They have not the burden of the work. The solemn truth they profess to believe are not a reality to them. They have not genuine faith. Men and women will act out all the faith which they in reality possess. By their fruits you shall know them. Not their profession, but the fruit they bear shows the character of the tree. Many have a form of godliness. Their names are upon the church records, but they have a spotted record in heaven. And the recording angel has faithfully written their deeds. Every selfish act, every wrong word, every unfulfilled duty, and every secret sin, with every artful dissembling, is faithfully chronicled in the book of records kept by the recording angel. So we cannot hide. Our deeds and actions counted more important than our profession. Yeah, they profess that they know God, but they deny Him by their deeds. Yeah. So, all this, in the scale of judgment, profession is nothing. It is useless if we don't live out our faith. We must live the life of Christ. In 2 Timothy 3:5, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Yeah, many people profess to be servants of Christ, yet they are not. In fact, in Review and Herald, November 7, 1882, paragraph 11. Review and Herald, November 7, 1882. At the present day, a form of godliness is popular. It's been trending for a long time. Even in the world, a profession of Christianity costs little. But those who follow Jesus must walk in the same path of self-denial and cross-bearing which the Master trod. They may be lightly esteemed by the world, but they are honored of God. So the form of godliness without a true reformation is like a house that is built on a sandy foundation. But those who possess the truth, who walk as Christ walked, will be honored by God. Because in 1 Corinthians 3:11, they build upon Christ as the true foundation. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. God's word is the only foundation on which we can stand safely. All the popular churches, Catholics, Protestants, all they has fallen morally because they have denied the everlasting gospel and the power of God. Even the nominal SDA church of today, it's only by name, who receive the greatest light from heaven. They are filled with spiritual pride like the ancient Israel and are working against Christ. In letter 122, 1901, paragraph 24, listen how what Sister White told them. The more cold and formal men in the religious life, the more they are filled with egotism. What is ego? That's full of I mean mine. And egotism always works against Christ. You may have much knowledge, but unless you are the possessor of true, pure religion, your knowledge is worthless to Christ. He looks upon you and calls you lukewarm. And this is how God treats a lukewarm Christian. Or churches, in 6408, it says, to those who are indifferent at this time, to those who are indifferent at this time, Christ's warning is, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Revelation 3:16. The figure of his spewing out of his mouth means that he cannot offer up your prayers or your expressions of love to God. He cannot endorse your teaching of his word or your spiritual work in any wise. He cannot present your religious exercises with a request that grace be given you. The SDA Church boasted about their big numbers. Yes, they have large institutions. They have so many establishments. But the world was introduced in that apostate church. They became corrupt, apostate, cold, and formal, removing Christ as their head, and became false claimants of God's promises. So there was a call to separate from all these corrupt churches and not be partakers of their sins. That's the reason why we are here. We have taken up the banner of truth that she abandoned and raised it high. We are the 11th hour movement. Because as prophesied in Isaiah 4:1, and in that day seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. All the professed Christian world today, except for the remnant of received, have given up the teachings of Christ in the Bible, only retaining the Christian name to cover up their corruptions. Just call us by your names, says the popular churches today. The name is more important than obeying. That's why Jesus says in Mark 7:6-7, it says, he answered and saith unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. Let me read that one. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. The professors are called hypocrites, like the scribes and the Pharisees. The word of God is a dead letter to them. They talk, they act like believers, but they simply worship God with their lips, not with their hearts. But what is acceptable to God? What is acceptable to God? In Review and Herald, January 16, 1913, not lip service, not profession, but a humble, devoted life is that for which God is seeking. The professors will hear the terrible words of Christ at the end. According to Matthew 7:22-23, many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Titus 1:15-16 says, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Professed Christians or Christians only in name are unclean in the eyes of God because they are pretenders. They are disobedient. Reprobates. They are rejected by the Lord. But what about us, dear brothers and sisters? Because we all profess to be part of the remnant of our seed. Is this word not applicable to us? Are we exempted? Unfortunately, we are not. In fact, we have a warning in Review and Herald, February 3, 1891. Our doctrines may be correct. We may hate false doctrine, and may not receive those who are not true to principle. We may labor with untiring energy, but even this is not sufficient. What is our motive? Why are we called upon to repent? Thou hast left thy first love. This is the reason. Let each member of the church study this important warning and reproof. So our danger is leaving our first love. See, actions reveal principles and motives. And God is weighing our character. So, we must critically examine our emotions and motives and detect what is wrong in our heart and modify and refine our manners with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the help of Melchizedek. We must have a constant supply of the grace of Christ to maintain the warmth and purity of Christian love with one another. Review and Herald, June 27, 1893. Review and Herald, June 27, 1893. A profession of piety is not enough if religion is not brought into practical service and does not produce good works. It is valueless. Let us wear the righteousness of Christ and put into practice the truth. Let us choose the way of self-denial, the way of the cross. Let us willingly follow Christ without hesitation and desire to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. And let us earnestly pray that God bless us, His faithful few, His little flock, and transform us into channels of light for the world to produce good works. If we do not live to bless others, we are unfaithful stewards. That's sad. And we will never receive God's word of approval. And what is that? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. We will not hear that word. So our future eternal life is dependent on earnest work rather than words or profession. Time is almost over. Jesus foretold that we would face persecution, but He also gave us a way on how to deal with it. In Luke 21:16-19, it says, "And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your presence," in verse 19, "in your presence, in your patience, possess ye your souls." Did you catch that? The word patience here refers to your ability to endure persecution. And the word possess here means to get, acquire, or obtain your lives. So in your patient endurance, you can keep your soul from being overcome by the enemy. And patience is an important quality of saints. In other words, instead of being weak and doubtful, we should be strong and faithful to Christ. And we must be cheerful peaceful despite the afflictions, reproaches, insults, and persecution that come our way. Let nothing upset or irritate us. This is how we will succeed, because the world cannot take away our inner peace and joy in serving the Lord. We do not have much time left, and we must be ready. This is what Early Writing 66 says. Early Writing 66 says, get ready, get ready, get ready. Ye must have a greater preparation than ye now have. For the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate and to destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Sacrifice all to God. Lay all upon His altar, self, property, and all a living sacrifice. It will take all to enter glory. Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where no thief can approach or rust corrupt. You must be partakers of Christ's sufferings here if you will be partakers with Him of His glory hereafter. Heaven will be cheap enough if we obtain it through suffering. In Hebrews chapter 12, 14 says, Hebrews 12, 14. It says here, follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Do you complain or murmur during trials? This is part of being Christian. So stop complaining, for our life will be more bitter if we do. Whatever our hope, whatever our profession, it needs corresponding work. God calls for action and works. The meek and quiet spirit is the result of God's grace in the heart. Philippians 2, 12 to 13. Philippians 2, 12 to 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. We need to exercise our faith in the promises of our Lord while we work for our salvation. In Review and Herald, April 12, 1887, we must be guarded constantly. We have a heaven to win, a possession to gain, that requires the stretch, the vigilant exercise of every spiritual muscle. Half-hearted work will not do here. God will accept nothing short of whole-hearted service, willing service. We must be vigilant all the time. We must be watchful, because God does not accept a half-hearted service. Let's give Him our whole heart or not at all. We must know ourselves. We must know our strengths, our weaknesses, so we can work out what is needed. In 1 Thessalonians 4:4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. This vessel is our bodies. we have a duty to take care of our bodies. Because in 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20, 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So use our body. Use your body and soul only for pure and holy purposes, because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Peter 1:2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience, and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. In manuscript 115:1909, manuscript 115:1909, it says, understand this. A profession is not enough. Let everyone understand it is the possession of the Holy Spirit of God that we receive, that we retain through obedience, that numbers us and owns us in the heavenly courts as children of God. Also in Review and Herald, November 19, 1908. When the Spirit of God takes possession of the heart, it transforms the life. Sinful thoughts are put away. Evil deeds are renounced. Love, humility, and peace take the place of anger, envy, and strife. Joy takes the place of sadness, and the countenance reflects the joy of heaven. No one sees the hand that lifts the burden, or beholds the light descends from the courts above. The blessing comes when by faith the soul surrenders itself to God, then that power, which no human eye can see, creates a new being in the image of God. So keep in mind that we are not our own. In letter 188-905, letter 188-905, you are to be sanctified not by profession of the truth, but by the possession of the sternest Christian principles. Let me repeat that again. You are to be sanctified not by profession of the truth, but by the possession of the sternest Christian principles. The blood of the Lord Jesus redeemed us, and we must give our heart to Him, our service and all. In Signs of the Times, May 25, 1882, every person will reveal in his life all the faith that he possesses. Our dress, our conversation, our house, our associates, all bear testimony to the world with greater force than words can have. Faith is made perfect by works, but faith without works is dead. That's according to James 2:22-20. We profess to be giving to the world the last message of mercy. But the question is our daily life in harmony with our profession? What is the evidence of our conversion? How can we say it is genuine? In Christ's Object Lesson 312, righteousness is right doing, and it is by their deeds that all will be judged. Our characters are revealed by what we do. The works show whether the faith is genuine. It is not enough for us to believe that Jesus is not an impostor, and that the religion of the Bible is no cunningly devised fable. We may believe that the name of Jesus is the only name under heaven whereby man may be saved, and yet we may not, through faith, make him our personal Savior. It is not enough to believe the theory of truth. It is not enough to make a profession of faith in Christ and have our names registered on the church roll. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. That is in 1 John 3:24. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments, according to 1 John 2:3. So this is the genuine evidence of conversion. Whatever our profession, it amounts to nothing unless Christ is revealed in works of righteousness. The truth is to be planted in the heart. It must control our life. It must be put into daily practice. And what benefit? What benefit does our profession serve if the truth is not permitted to sanctify our temper, our words, our actions? And if faith is repeatedly denied, God is deeply dishonored. We make him sad. We don't put a smile in his face. Letters 28, 18, 89. Profession is nothing. A godly life alone will God approve. Do you show Christ's character? Do you always reflect God's love to others? Are your words and actions consistent? And do you confess our Lord? Do you live by His holy principles? Are you pure and undefiled? Profession of faith in Christ is not enough, but possession of Christ is. We must be patient enough to face all adversities and resist all temptations. Let us put the truth to the test and demonstrate its transforming power in our lives. This is what God approved. In 60, volume 6 of the testimony, 260. The world will be convinced not so much by what the pulpit teaches as by what the church lives. See? We hear sermons, we hear studies every Sabbath. It's not enough. The preacher announces the theory of the gospel, like what we are hearing now. But the practical piety of the church demonstrates its power. Now the question is asked again before I end. Profession of faith or possession of truth? Are you a professor or a possessor? You can honestly answer that yourself. Lastly, this is my prayer for all of us, found in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "And the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the God of peace, through the Holy Spirit, sanctifies and makes us holy when we possess Christ in our hearts. I hope and pray that you are all blessed this Sabbath day. God bless us all.
It hasn't been a bed of roses since I started on my way. Lord, you know I'm not complaining. There's just something I should say. For I've reached desperation, and I stumbled since my start. I've grown weary through the years. Now I'm crying bitter tears from the depths of my heart. From the depths of my heart, Lord, I'm calling out to you. For I need you here to lead me. I've done all that I can do. Lord, I'm trying to do my part to see that others make it through. You know, I know I don't deserve you. Still, I'm trying hard to serve you. From the depths of my heart, it's not a prayer just from the lips. It goes much deeper than the words. It's not a worthless expression. I just need to be heard. Lord, I need to reach your throne. I know exactly what I'll do. I'm gonna fall down on my knees. I know you will hear the praise from the depths of my heart. From the depths of my heart, Lord, I'm calling out to you. For I need you here to lead me. I've done all that I can do. Lord, I'm trying to do my part to see that others make it through. No, I know I don't deserve you. Still, I'm trying hard to serve you from the depths of my heart. Though I know I don't deserve you, still, I'm trying hard to serve you from the depths of my heart.
Amen. Shall we pray to close the service? Please kneel if you can. Yeah, it's a lovely song. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we want to live a godly life. Help us, O Lord, while professing to hold the truth, that we can show to the world that we are true children, your true children, who will meet you face to face when you come. Help us to apply the truth we learn in our lives. And please continue to give us grace to overcome the trials and temptations that come our way. Help us to be strong in the faith, possessing our Lord firmly in our heart. We praise and love you, Father, together with your Son, Jesus, and Melchizedek, for you are all worthy to be praised. Please, Lord, bless your church around the world, that we will all continue to be united in truth and in love for you and for one another. And we humbly ask that you please shower us today with the large measure of the latter rain that you have promised. Please stay with us for the remainder of this Holy Sabbath day and help us guard the edges of the Sabbath until we meet tonight for the prayer and study meeting. Please forgive us, Lord, for all the sins we have committed against thee. For we ask all these things in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.